that first one I want to carry over.
I come back and cover some of this stuff again next. And I had these notes for the last, who knows? We were talking about them before I left. So we're going to deal with some difficulties and solutions. And I specifically want to talk about how we read the book of Revelation, is what I'm looking at. But, well, let's read this together, and then we can pick up with this text. Luke 13:31. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. What does that tell you about the Pharisees, by the way? Does that tell you anything about the Pharisees' attitude towards Jesus? Let me summarize. There were more than one view of Jesus among the Pharisees. Some of them tried to protect him. Verse 32. And he said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out, King James says, devils, demons, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. And of course, he's referring to future in the resurrection. But the question I have is, it's a very simple one, folks. I don't like to talk about what I'm going to do today because people love to know big ideas. They love to do this. Pastor, tell me what I'm supposed to believe so I can either agree or disagree with you. Which means you haven't done any thinking, I haven't done any thinking. That's pretty typical of church members. So what we're going to try to do is talk about some principles. But you have in this text this word. That is a metaphor that we do not use. Go tell that fox. When I think of the word fox, I think of one thing. Well, more than that, but I think of an actual fox. Fox, I grew up in the country. Fox, can you tell a fox at 200 yards away that it's a fox and not a dog? Frenchie, how? Maybe you, the way it walks, thank you. It runs totally different than a dog does. Yes, but it runs almost like it's sideways or something. It's weird. But what is the image, folks? Look at me. What is the image Jesus is saying? Go tell that fox. Sly. How would you know? Deceitful. Oh, sly? Deceitful? Is it, see, I before E? Yeah, maybe that's it. Is that all that it's talking about? I don't know. Fox to me is not an obvious image. When I think of a fox, I just think of a fox. You're going to run into images in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, that you're not familiar with. And the problem is, what you have just done, Debbie, may be correct. It might not be correct, because the problem is, this is what you think of when you think of a fox. And trust me, cultures do not always think of things the same way. Is that correct? We have different ways of expressing images. When I was in the Philippines, I said something to someone. And friends, if you're here this morning, I'm sorry, I'm not going to explain this to you. I said, I need to go see a man about a dog. Now that is just from the country. Sam, you know exactly what it means, don't you? I could tell. It's just a roundabout, circumlocution way of saying, I need to use the facilities. Okay? Where does that come from? The answer is, I have no idea where that comes from. Other than my dad always used it, therefore I always know what it meant. Tell somebody that in another country and you get the look of Sam. It's like, and Sam, if someone says, I'm going to see someone about a horse, I'm definitely not going to tell you what that means. Okay? Do we have different images? I just been in the Philippines a month. Oh, yes. Louis, I have to tell you, on the island of Leyte, first time I had carabao. Carabao meat. So I am now totally Filipino, with the exception of I still haven't eaten balut. So, by the way, I don't want to bore you. Let's ask the question. Is that what this implies? I'm going to tell you what. Most writers of the Bible, commentators, say absolutely not. That is a Western view of the word fox. Ooh. I don't know. I'm going to let you figure that out. Now, Ryrie says it does. So there you go. Well, let's look in your Bibles. And by the way, it's not important right now. My point is, we use language. We all use language in cultures. And when you come to Revelation, you find lots of different language. So let's look at Revelation chapter 1, if we could. Revelation chapter 1. And verse 10. Let's start in verse 9. Are you there? Revelation 1, verse 9. It says, I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos. And by the way, you don't have to pray about this. The island is still called Patmos. It's right off the coast of Turkey. It's where it always has been. It's a small little island. He wasn't there taking a vacation. This wasn't, what is it, Boracay? Is that the place in the Philippines? This wasn't a vacation spot. He wasn't sunning on the beach. He was exiled. The Romans were famous for exiling people. I just read Suetonius, 12 Caesars again. And I'm telling you, these emperors were always exiling even their own family. And when Augustus got mad at people, he would just send them off to some island. And a lot of them starved to death. It was pretty much a place like Patmos, a little bitty island. So John is there. It says, he is in the island of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is during the reign of Domitian. Domitian reigned from, he reigned from 81 to 96, thereabouts, or 82 to 96. To 94. He reigned for a period of time, and he was a crazy man. Verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet. I think we probably understand that reference, don't we? Trumpet, but that's an image. What if you come from a culture that doesn't have trumpets or something like it? And by the way, when I say trumpet, I don't mean, hello? It would be something like that, maybe just a shofar, maybe just a horn. I don't know. But something loud, piercing, that gets your attention. Verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega. Well, Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter. Looks something like this and looks something like that, basically. It says, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And then we get into this large concept of describing Jesus. So he turns to see this. He says, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden, the King James mistranslates this, candlesticks, which, not being mean, but it was an absolute impossibility. Candles weren't invented at that time. They were lamp. Yes. And the Roman world was famous for olive oil, and that's what they burned. And it was much better than even candles, but you have to have access to olive oil to burn. So he turns and he sees seven of these. What does that mean, seeing seven lampstands? What does that indicate? So we have to say, how do we come to conclusions when we read this? Let's keep reading. It says, and in the midst of the seven, we'll say lampstands, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and this is old English for sure, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Frenchie, do not describe it. Ron and Frenchie, that age, when you think of the word girdle, you are 100% wrong about what this is talking about. If you're young, do you know what a girdle is? You do not know. I think you have to be of a certain age. It was those things that women used to wear that sucked them up and sucked them in. And it was a girdle. This is not talking about a girdle. And by the way, what are the paps? That's terrible too. It basically is saying this. He has some sort of something that ties the clothing together, like a sash or something like that. We would use a belt for that purpose today. And I'm going to get a belt that makes me thin someday. That's a miracle belt. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. Have you ever tried to explain snow to people? John, when's the first time you saw snow? You didn't grow up around snow. Were you? In Japan, okay. One of the pastor friends that was here, Dennis Fundano, remember him? Dennis Fundano came to America. His biggest goal was to see snow. So wherever he was, they got about 6 inches of snow. And this is the first thing he did. He says, I took my shoes off, took my socks off, and because I wanted to feel snow on my feet. He says, I walked out into the snow, and at first it was really neat. And then he says, it turned to ice, and my feet froze. And I'm like, well, duh. But if you've never seen snow, explain snow. By the way, explain cold weather to people that have never been in cold weather. In the Philippines, if you go to a place that's 80 or 75, Tagaytay is about 75 to 80. They think people were in coats. They're wearing stocking caps. And I'm like, this is just starting to get nice. And then they say, how cold does it get? And it's like, you cannot explain it to people because it doesn't mean anything. By the way, Ade, was there snow where you're from? No snow. So, that's right. First time you saw snow was Bemidji, Minnesota. By the way, folks, I got to tell you his story. Forgive me for doing this. Ade comes to America on a scholarship. Is that correct? Or to some kind of connection to a university. But you think all of America is the same, right? And you fly from Cameroon to where? Where's your first stop? And then from there to? And you get off the plane in Minnesota and you're wearing a t-shirt and it's January. By the way, folks, don't ever think that the images of the Bible aren't that foreign to you. Don't get comfortable with the images, thinking you just know because you just know, because you just don't know. Sometimes these images are going to be odd that you read. So, Snow, you got baptized. This is how isn't this funny? You were baptized with fire, but there was no fire. You were baptized with snow. In Bemidji, Minnesota, one of the coldest places on earth. Definitely in the continental 48, that's one of the coldest places. God bless you, brother. I like that. That's funny. Well, let's keep reading this. It goes on to say, so his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass or bronze, as they had been burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Every one of these are images telling us something about the Lord Jesus that in some way we have to ascertain or discern somehow what they mean. Unless you just think, because you're special, hey, because you showed up, you know what everything means. And I promise you, the more culturally you talk to people, the more you realize cultures don't use images the same way at all. Should I do it? I should do it. This thing right here. If I went to Dave, my buddy here, and you know, the first time I saw Dave and I did this, what would you think? He wouldn't be back. like, but I still remember my first trip to the Philippines, getting off the airplane. There's Filipinas there, ladies, and I'm old and ugly, then too, and having girls go, and I'm like, what are you doing? But the worst part was when guys started doing it. And then I'm like, this is really bad. And what is it? It's kind of the way you say, hello, you know. Or how do you say yes? Well, Hermie says yes the best. You have to raise your eyebrows and throw your head back at the same time. I can't do it without getting whiplash. How about this one? Oh, boy. By the way, Dave, you think it'd be bad. Just wait till the first time a guy raises his eyebrows at you. And Dave's an old boy. He's thinking, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. And you have to, by the way, Dave, here's the worst part. When you're in the Philippines, you have to learn to do that because that's part of the politeness process. If you don't do that, isn't that right? You're missing something. You're missing how to communicate. All right, I'm playing around here for one reason. By the way, I'm not playing around. What am I doing? The Bible is a foreign book to you and me. Just because you have read it doesn't mean you know all these images. Some of them are hard to figure out. I know that in English, I think you're right, Debbie, most people, I just think of a fox as a fox. But I think people, if they use it, yeah, sly as a fox. You know, yes. But that's very Western, and I'm not sure that's exactly what Jesus meant, even though Ryrie says it is. I don't know. We'll have to figure that out. Let me give you some very simple suggestions about how to read this. When you have difficulties with an image, and that's the point, when you find an image in the Bible, whatever the image is, and there's lots and lots of images in the Bible, there's the image of the beast, which is the Greek word therion. We're going to get to that when we get to Revelation 13. It's in your notes, but we don't have to turn there right now. Revelation 13 talks about the beast. What does this image of a wild beast mean? You have to ask some questions. So in your notes, let's begin with the first one, difficulties with images. This is my first and fundamental recommendation. Always see and hear the image. Always see and hear the image. Remember, Revelation says over and over and over to the place where, look, it will bore you to tears if I went through it, where it says, and I saw, and I saw, and I saw, which means if you're going to understand, you're going to have to see that image with John. The images are meant to be seen, they're meant to be heard. It's not meant to be analyzed or to be cute. It's meant to be seen and heard. So if you see a wild beast, does that scare you? Amy, did you send me that joke? I'm a terrible joke teller, but the joke was so funny because I can see city people doing it. Some person went to a farm, a drug enforcement person, and said, I'm here to check on your farm to see if you have any illegal drugs you're growing. So the farmer said, no problem. But he said, but don't go into that field. That guy said, he said, listen, I have a badge, and that badge allows me to go into that field. I go any place I want to go. He says, okay. Farmer said, fine. So he went into that field, and he met a bull, 2,000-pound Angus. Do you understand 2,000 pounds? But a 2,000-pound bull is nothing but muscle, and you cannot move it even a little bit. And they're vicious. They run fast. Well, the guy got over there and ran into that bull, and that bull started chasing him. And he started screaming. And that farmer said, show him your badge. But you have to be from the country to understand that. Hey, when I see an Angus bull, I don't think, let me go pet the bull. But some of you wouldn't know the difference between a steer and a bull. And some of you think chicken nuggets are chicken. But anyhow, we better move on from there. good grief, that's terrible. Always see and hear the images that you see. That's where this process begins. No matter what you come across, you want to see it, you want to hear it. In the very first thing in your notes is in 1 verse 12. He talks about the seven golden, and I said not lampstands is a better term. Verse 16, it says this, and he had in his right hand seven stars. So here you have two images that are going to be connected. He has seven lampstands. And obviously the big issue there is going to be light. Then he has these seven stars. And under verse 13, I believe, says that Jesus walks in the midst of those. And you see him, and that's one of the main things of Revelation 2 and 3. Jesus is walking in the midst of these. Now, we kind of know what some of this is. Verse 16, it says, and he saw in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. So when you see this, you need to see this, you need to hear this. What's a star? Well, I think we can visualize a star okay. A sharp two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. I will tell you this. You pull out a sword and you come at somebody. I know some people got murdered when I was gone. And by the way, I don't care if you're a liberal, a moderate, or a conservative. Something needs to be done in America about the murders. Conservatives want to act like, let's not talk about guns. I'm not talking about guns. Do you not understand, folks? We've never had this in the history of America, this many murders, where people walk in and just kill 10, 12, 13 people. And it's happening all the time. Does it bother you? Answer the question, does it bother you? A sharp two-edged sword is something dangerous. Something can get at you. You know, this isn't a toy. We're not talking about a toothpick. So whatever that means is something that can get cut to the soul, at the very least, I think. In your notes. So what do we see in here? That's kind of the key of all of this kind of a conversation. We want to ask what we see in here. So if you look down at verse 20, you're going to see the mystery. It says in verse 20, the mystery, and a mystery in the New Testament is not mysterious. Mystery in the New Testament is always something that is concealed in the Old Testament and revealed in the New. So it's concealed in the Old Testament and it's revealed in the New. And there are several mysteries, and every one of them was something that it was concealed before, and now God opens it up. There's that mystery in verse 20 of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. So you have seven stars. He tells us these seven stars are angels, which probably doesn't help us very much. An angel is a messenger. Actually, angel is just the Greek word angelos. So an angel is a messenger. The seven lampstands, as the King James says, I won't go any farther with that. The seven candlesticks, the King James says, which is seven lampstands, are the seven churches. So it kind of even explains this to a great extent. This is seven churches which bear light, and the seven stars which he holds in his hand are the messengers, are the angels of each church. Now, what are the angels? You're not an angel. You're not an angel. Pastor Kowak, thank you, sir. Well, I don't know. Do we have seven angels? Do we have an angel here? I'm looking.
You're married to
one. I don't know that she's an angel, but she's very patient. So do we have an angel here? Is one of our pastors an angel? Answer the question. Thank you, Tim. Whoops. Yeah, but you only have, see, this passage is one of many passages that gets abused because people want to prove something that cannot be proven. So, you know, probably this is what we're going to do. For the next 14 minutes, we're just going to talk about this because I'm going to try to teach you how to think about something as opposed to have opinions. Many people will do this. The angel, of course, there's only one of them. And since there's only one of them, that means there's supposed to be one pastor in each church. And all kinds of foolishness is derived from this. The first thing you would need to do is ask yourself a simple question. What is an angel? You say it's a messenger. Is it? Is it not? Frenchie, we've discussed this on Wednesday night. I know you remember. How would you demonstrate, Frenchie, that this is there supposed to be one pastor in each church? Which is an unbiblical concept, by the way. The Bible, every single place, by the way, every single place in the New Testament has a plurality of pastors. Every single place. No exceptions. None. Uh-oh. Sure. What is it teaching? Angel is just a transliterated word. It is this funny-looking word. It's angelos. So basically, anytime you have two of these in a row, this becomes in, and you just have angel, and you drop the Greek ending, and that's what you have, angel. Angel does mean messenger. By the way, please look at me. Angel always means messenger, 100% of the time. The only thing you need to ascertain then is what kind of messenger are we referring to? Are we referring to a messenger from heaven, what we would call an angelic being? Are you referring to a normal messenger? This is the Greek word angelos, which is we get angel from. And in the Old Testament, everybody already knows the Old Testament word for angel. It looks like that, more or less. If you have that on it, it means my. So when you have Malachi or Malachi, you have my messenger of the new covenant. It's in there 4, 5, or 6 times in the book of Malachi. Yes, Malachi, Malach is the Hebrew word for angel, and angelos is the Greek word for angel. Both of them mean messenger, and from the context, you need to determine where does this fit in? And where does this angel come from? Is this someone coming from heaven? And Debbie, let me ask a question. Are there angels, angelic beings, in the book of Revelation? There's lots of them. Lots of them. But the question is then, does each church have... There's the angel of Lake County Baptist Church. I'm looking. I see a couple demons. I don't know about angels. Do we have an angel here? You know what? I think I know the angel, Sister Ann. She's pretty close. I think Ann could pass. Probably Pam could pass as an angel. I'm probably closer to the demon, so. So. Okay. But we can only have one. What about Tim? What about Brian? Okay, let's look at Revelation 1 and verse 1. Let's make this simple. Can we do that? So, Debbie, we're going to answer your question. You need to have your Bible here. Revelation 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his. So we know this would have to have been an angelic being that's part of the process of revelation. Verse 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia. So you have John. Folks, let's think here. You have John, you have seven churches. Everybody with me so far? The seven churches are where? And Asia is? Modern Turkey, yes. Modern day Turkey. And each one of these has a what? Has an angel or a messenger. Does that mean each church has its own angel? Like a guardian angel of Lake County Baptist Church. Mark, you're shaking your head no. Oh, we find out who the angel. Well, I already figured out the angel's probably on, so she's over there. All right, let's, by the way, I know I'm bouncing around. That's okay. There's too many things I want to talk about at one time. So you got a problem. Let's just see here. Ron, I'm going to ask Ron. It's a simple question. Everybody should have it on the tip of their tongues. Where was John at? He was on the island of? And he was there sunbathing, picnicking. Well, I mean, the revelation happened on the island of Patmos, but my question is, why was he there? He was exiled there, not excommunicated. That's what we're going to do to Louis, excommunicate him. So he is exiled, which in the Roman world, by the way, was a form of prison. I think the best way to describe it, and Nello, is I don't know if they did this in Romania, did it in Russia. Did the Russians, when they had anything to do with your country, did they send people to Siberia? So even from Romania, they could ship you off to Siberia. So exile was not a picnic. It was a form of punishment, basically, and usually early death. So, Ron, I got a question. Do you think that John could say, you know, I like it here, but I need a couple weeks to go visit these churches? All right, so let's do this. Let's keep reading here. Let's see here. So let's look at verse 3, would you? Let's look at verse 3 of Revelation 1 and verse 3. Tim McGrail, can you read it?
Yep. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near.
So Debbie, I'm going to answer your question. I believe in the book of Revelation there were seven churches. By the way, there were more than seven churches in Asia Minor. We know this from Paul's writing and Luke in the book of Acts. There's lots more churches. God chose seven of those churches. But if I can say this kindly, John had a problem. How's he going to get the book of Revelation to those seven churches? Vacation? Oh, wait a minute. Email? How about this? FedEx. He has to get what God reveals to him from Patmos, and he's in prison, yes? He's in prison. He has to get that information from there to those seven churches. Well, he can't do it. Well, they actually sent messengers. And what did those messengers do? By the way, Revelation 1 verse 3 is the most misquoted verse in the whole book. The ESV properly translates that. It translates it strongly because everybody misreads it, because everybody goes there to get a little blessing. This isn't about getting a blessing. Revelation 1 verse 3 was the physical facts. You're in the church at Thyatira. How are you going to get the book? Look at me, folks. You didn't bring your Bible to church. There were no Bibles. Blessed is what? Or he. Somebody has to read it to you. Guess what? Here's John. He's on the island of Patmos. He obviously cannot leave. So he has to get this information to seven locations. And each location has a messenger. And that messenger Was it one of the pastors? Maybe. But my guess is it was whoever John had contact with. He had seven guys that sent that, that took the book to those seven locations, and he did more than take it. What did he do with it? He read it out loud, which is what they did in the first century, because everybody didn't have a Bible. Remember, by John's time, nobody knows exactly when books began. In Jesus' time, 30s, there were no books, period. Everything were scrolls. Somewhere towards the end of the first century, we have the beginning of what is going to become books. And really what it was this. Before that, everything was rolled up in a scroll. But this was, they put things together like this, they sewed them together, and they had them on front and back. Now, the only reason I know this is this. The earliest Greek manuscript, a little portion of the Gospel of John, from about 115 A.D., and by the way, John wrote it in about 90, so you're talking 25 years later, we have a copy of it. Are you hearing me? It's written on both sides. Scrolls were written on one side. So they started, they picked up the technology right away so they could put things together. They could put books of the like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts were one book. This was very, very early. Paul's writings were put together in one book. Peter even says that in 2 Peter. He's collected these. He knows about Paul's epistles, plural. So these things are starting to be collected and put in books. But the whole point is, John's got a problem. How do I get there? How do I get to Asia Minor? I can't go there. I can't use my email. I can't use FedEx. I can't use the postal service. I got some people that are going to take these letters. And when they get there, they're going to do what? They're going to read them. And what's the congregation going to be doing? And obeying. There's no secret to these messengers. Don't try to prove foolishness from the Bible. These are talking about how you get from point A to point B, so these people heard the word of God. Look in your Bibles, Colossians 4, verse 16. Colossians 4, verse 16. And you're going to ask a question, and I'm not going to answer it. Verse 16. Paul says, and when this epistle is read among you, you have to understand, most people didn't have a Bible. How would you have one? And if you had one, it would have to be what? Hand-copied. Folks, most people did not. They might have portions. But the reading of Scripture was very important. They say, I don't know. We're now in a crisis, and I got 1 minute or two, and I'm sorry, we're going to be a little bit late. We're now in a crisis because texting has changed the way people think. But what we don't know is this happened before. With the advent of the printing press, before that, people could memorize huge, I'm talking about Tom, Dick, and Harry, memorize large sections of things because you didn't have books. Everything had to be handwritten. So you would go to church and hear things. But by the way, haven't you done that? I can quote Psalm 23. I can quote many passages that I heard as a child read in church. And they were read in church, and it stuck in my brain. How about you? It just sticks with you. The printing press destroyed that. You no longer had to do what? You didn't have to even remember something. You could look in the book. Now people think, hey, I can look it up. That's not the same as meditating and understanding, though. But here's the thing. John had a problem. How am I going to get those books there? We're going to send, look here, angels, messengers, human messengers. They're going to take them there. They're going to read them. The people are going to hear this. And the blessing resides on the person reading, but not on the person hearing. The person that hears and keeps or obeys. That's the messengers. It's not that difficult. It's called history. Let's read. Did we read all of that? 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's look there real quick. A couple books over. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 27. Paul says this, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. Folks, this is how you learn the Bible. The pastors are, could be people. Read. And I still believe it's good to read, read, read. And on that, we're going to have to quit for today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. And do we have an angel?